Welcome to Making It All Click with MetaTelepath Brian Carlton Flournoy. In this hour, Brian shares how to use intuition co-creatively in order to interpret all kinds of telepathic impressions into practical information for daily guidance. Together, let's tap into this group MetaTelepathic experience. Here's your host, Brian Carlton Flournoy.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in once again. And you're listening to Brian on Making It All Click. And as you all know, I have a podcast called Visionary Series, which is a series of shows about practitioners, authors, spiritual retreat centers, musicians, well-being agencies, awareness journals, and radio show hosts around the country and the world, which facilitate healing and self-healing through visionary media events. And I intend to use similar co-creative efforts to manifest the Healing Facilitators United Conference on behalf of healthcare reform. And I'm very fortunate and lucky to have on the show today a very gifted and talented medium and psychic, Linda Drake. Linda Drake, an intuitive life path healer, uses her gift for channeling souls on the other side to help the bereaved find comfort and healing. In her book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, she shares powerful true stories that underscore vital lessons in accepting loss, coping with grief, understanding death, and reconnecting with life. From the deceased wife who helps her husband find new love to the baby who uses his life to impart medical knowledge, these enlightening stories touch the heart and remind us of the soul's endurance. Readers can also find inspiration here to heal from other losses, such as losing a job or career or ending a relationship. Let's jump into this enlightening relationship with gifted psychic and medium, Linda Drake. Linda, when did you first notice your abilities, and how had you come to define for yourself that what was going on was a spiritual event?
Well, spirit came into my life about 10 years ago, and it was totally unexpected. It was not my world at all. I had my religious beliefs, but I had been going through about 6 years of a very, very devastating, two very devastating illnesses. And the doctors had not been able to help me overcome the challenges of these illnesses. So I'd been in prayer a lot. And be careful what you pray for, because God does answer the prayers, maybe just not in the way that you expect. But what happened for me is I'd be in my state of prayer, and I'd keep hearing a voice that would say, take our gift and we'll take your pain. And one day, and I kept denying the voice, and it kept getting louder and louder. And one day I just said, God, if that's you talking to me, I'm ready. Just tell me what to do. And an energy came over me, and I didn't know what it was or what to do with it. But within 2 days, all of my pain went away. And I had been in constant pain for about 6 years. And with these, and constant illness, one after another. And all of a sudden, my body was completely healed. And so then I went back to spirit. I went back and sat down and went back into prayer and said, okay, God, what was it I negotiated for?
Wow. And so what kinds of information did you get downloaded as a result of going back and revisiting that contract?
When I went back, well, what they did, they began telling me that what my purpose was.
Okay, so now you're sounding like you're recognizing that there's more than one.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
Outside of your monotheism.
Yes,
go
definitely.
Ahead.
When I heard this voice talking to me, now, you know, my first instinct was, okay, I've lost my mind. I've taken too many pain pills. Something's going on here because I didn't have any control of this. But there was a voice talking to me, and so I asked, okay, who are you? Who's talking? Is this God? And the answer I received was, we are spirit. And I said, well, what is that? Who's spirit? And they said, we are the consciousness of God. We are the angels that are the fingers of God that work within your life. And we are the masters that bring you the messages of God. So this was a whole group working as spirit in my life and talking to me. And so they just said, let's go. We're going to begin our journey. And they did. They taught me. They downloaded all of this knowledge into me through long, long meditations and just began working with me, explaining that I had agreed to be a healer with them, mm-hmm. and that they were going to give me all of the knowledge I needed to do this.
Did you at some point in time ask the question, is there a connection between this reality and what I was taught traditionally in my religion, and what is that connection? Or did you just give in to this new reality and this new information?
I was brought up in a strong religious background, and so I had to find a way to integrate that in. And so I questioned so much, because even as a child, I questioned my religion. I would say, well, that's not right. God wouldn't have done this, and this I know this isn't right. And, of course, I would be hushed to just keep my mouth shut and just do what I was told, as, you know, most children are. But I knew that there were things about the religion that weren't right, that I felt it wasn't right, but I could never prove it. Well, through spirit and the information that they brought into me, then I could put the pieces together, and I discovered that there was much more beyond the limitations of my religious belief. There was much more to it. It was just that, you know, our religions didn't have all of the answers at the time that religion was created or that book was written.
Mm-hmm.
And so Spirit said we had to think, humans had to learn to think beyond what we were told.
Right. And, you know, I'm the son of an apostolic pastor, and it was similar with me. In, you know, in my adulthood, in my mid to late 30s, and I thought it was a pretty cruel joke, you know, as well. And and I was comforted in knowing, too, that this was in addition to.
Yes.
It wasn't a reason to look back and say someone lied. I was able to perceive that I was being taught something from a perspective that was limited. I would like to ask you a question. How is your view on Jesus, the historic Jesus, the healer? How has his image or your perception of that persona changed?
What Spirit taught me was that we are all children of God, including mm-hmm. Jesus. But God sent many, many different, what we want to term saviors or leaders, into our world, into humanity, to lead us to the truth. And so Jesus was one of these leaders that was supposed to direct us to the truth. You know, Jesus was not a religion. Jesus
right.
was, God is not a religion.
Right.
And so, you know, a religion was not based on them, but they're a very important part of leading us and keeping us connected to God. So they said whatever, you know, whatever way that Jesus could fulfill his purpose in that way, that's what he did.
Right. Lovely. Very insightful. You know, Linda, everyone's dying to ask this question of a really good intuitive or medium regarding what it really is like when one connects with transitioned energy and the like. Do you see with your physical eyes, or are you having a general experience that gets interpreted into what would be a visual or a hearing signal?
Mine comes in all different forms. As a medium, Spirit taught me how to open the doorway to the other side and to allow those spirits on the other side to come across and communicate with me and with their loved ones. And so sometimes I see them, sometimes I just hear them, sometimes I just know they're there, and maybe they're not able to create a form for me or a shape for me. So I get it in many different ways. And the stories that they tell me, the messages that they can come back with are so beautiful about that experience. Now,
What experience?
The experience of crossing over. What happens when they actually go through the doorway of death? What happens, you know, to their, what happens to, what their spiritual experience is when they go home to God? You know, what it really is, how there is this circle of love that God has created for us, that
right.
the divine source has provided for our souls. And this circle of love connects us to all of those that we love and that cross over and keeps that energy flowing. Love is a vibrational energy that we create from our hearts, from our compassion. We each soul creates it, and it connects us to other souls. And so these spirits that come across from the other side, they talk to me about how, you know, what their journey looked like, what heaven looks like, you know, what all of the angels and the masters and rejoining their family, all they ever talk about is love, forgiveness, love, compassion. They're full of it. And so when they cross over, they don't take any of their issues with them. They keep their same, the best parts of their personality, they keep that until they come into their next lifetime. But that is still a part of them, but they don't take any of the negativity with them.
So,
so
you
it's
know
very,
this,
very beautiful.
Right. And so this is an opportunity to ask, what about the soul minds that don't transition successfully? What is their story?
Yes, I get to work with them also. The earthbound souls, those that have not crossed for one reason or another, that choose to stay here in this lifetime, you know, existing among us right now. And I find them, you know, still walking the earth, and some of them have been here for 100 or more years. And so I try to do my job of helping them cross over. But first we have to find out why they didn't cross over, because the light is provided for all of us. God sends angels to all of us to help us cross over. But for one reason or another, some of these people, even, you know, when they died, they chose not to go into the light.
So
now,
are they objectively choosing not to go into the light, or is it that they're not able to recognize what that is?
They're choosing not to go because... Now, sometimes they can't turn loose of their possessions here, or sometimes they can't accept that they no longer have any control here, or that their life is over here. That soul chooses whether to go into the light or not. It's not rejected. It's not about God's judgment of us, because what I have found to be truth is that there is no judgment on the other side. God will not reject you. He will not judge you for anything you've chosen to do in this lifetime. You're the one that will judge you. There's not a St. Peter over there that has a checklist. You are the one that will judge yourself when you cross over.
Interesting, and I do have a question that goes like this. What opportunities have you been presented with in order to help spirits forgive, be forgiven, in order to go on to their new destinations?
Oh, that's a beautiful part of my work. I have been given the opportunity in many different forms to go, whether it's going into a building or going to a home, or, you know, just calling in spirits and asking, you know, trying to connect with these spirits that are still here and find out why that they've chosen not to go. What is holding them here? And I actually interact with them in this way, and I help them release their fear, release their judgment of themselves, because some of them stay here because they are afraid of Judgment Day. They are afraid that they have sinned, and their religious beliefs hold them here, thinking that, you know, if they go to heaven, they're just going to be kicked out to hell. But often it's just a fear of judgment that keeps them here. Afraid. Sometimes, you know, I have interacted with people that have died, and, you know, they're afraid to go to the other side because that person that, you know, abused them had crossed over before them, and they're afraid to rejoin them, that it'll continue, or they're afraid of, again, getting kicked out or being judged. Or maybe some of them choose to stay here because they feel like they've not finished what they came here to do with their family.
Right.
And so that may hold them here.
Right, and they have a desire to stay and be helpful.
Yes, and they stay to be with their families, and or, you know, whether it's a spouse or a child or somebody to help them, and then that person dies and they cross over and this person gets stuck here.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, I've worked with several like that, and they just didn't know how to find the light then.
Right.
And they didn't trust it. And so they didn't get across. And so they feel trapped here.
What are the circumstances that you come across that put you in acting that mission out?
You know what? God just puts me in those places. I know he does. Because, you know, sometimes it's, you know, just by that really happens that way. But, you know, God puts me in like an old hotel and they just flood my room or, you know, come in and wanting help, and they'll just stand around and stare at me, you know, hoping that I'm there to help them because they don't know how to ask for help. There's never been anybody there to help them.
How do they know that you can help?
Often, God will send, Spirit will send a spirit from the other side to round them up. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I went to Vancouver, Canada, and the lady that brought me to Vancouver booked me in an old hotel because she thought that would be interesting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going there to connect her with her son who had crossed over. And that was just the most, what most people would consider bizarre. But to me, it was quite fun because her son came in from the other side, and he just rounded up everybody for blocks around. And just there was so many people coming into my room. I just had this little parade, and he came from the other side to try to explain to them that I could help them.
Mm.
And so he was actually hosting the party.
Wow.
But
And how many people were physically there?
I was the only one physically there. My husband too, but and it's often very difficult for him to understand all that's going on because he doesn't have the awareness that I do, but he's very supportive in it. But
has he come to know that this is a real mission and that you're not crazy?
Because he sees the effects that it has on people. He sees, you know, whether it's things moving across the floor, or how I just know things that nobody else could possibly know,
mm-hmm.
And how people are drawn to me for their healing, and how everything happens synchronistically. Mm-hmm. But he has seen, you know, he's a very logical man of the computer world. So yes, it was very difficult for him to accept in the beginning, as it was me.
Mm-hmm.
I still question at times if I've lost my mind. But Spirit just presents these opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
All over the world.
Right. And everyone knows about the movie Grudge and this new movie coming out called Shudder. Are you familiar with either of those?
I'm not familiar with either.
Okay. It's about a person who actually was involved with another human being and had a horrid relationship, and there was issues of betrayal and abandonment, and in the process, one of the people in the relationship died, and their energy got stuck on Earth and actually ended up manifesting a personal haunting.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, in context to these movies, have you ever observed a personal haunting?
Yes.
And what is your understanding of this phenomenon, and why does it happen?
It is because they're unresolved issues in the relationship. Those two people, there's no chance in any of our relationships. So those two people the one that I am familiar with, they came in together to work on some issues together, and there was such negativity created in the relationship that their issues did not get resolved.
Mm.
And so the one that died was not able, just could not give it up, just was not able to, chose not to cross over to the other side. And he stayed here to try to help his partner overcome the challenges of her loss. Because she was experiencing this major, major issues of anger and guilt and all of the stages of grief over the loss of this relationship. And because the relationship had both positive and negative aspects of it. But she felt that she was being haunted. And
uh-huh.
He was the man that crossed over. He was so that died. He was so possessive and controlling that he was still working with his issues. And it was like a haunting because he was trying to force her to do the same thing he was trying to force her to do before he died.
Mm.
But when you know, when I began working with him and helping him, called him in and said, hey, what's going on here?
Right.
And he explained what his purpose was, and I explained how he could help her much more from the other side.
Right.
And we actually released him because he could see that he'd been doing this for like 10 years.
Right. Now, how was this haunting being manifested in your client's reality?
Because they have so much power. You know, whether they've crossed over or not, they actually have power.
To do
because
what?
Because they're still energy beings. Whether they've died or not and have a physical body or not, just as we can create energy while we're in physical body, mm-hmm. they can create energy themselves. Whether it's, you know, just creating a fear because of the lights blinking or something moving in the room or, you know, interfering through the telephone. They're able to do all of these things. They're still able to create energy, but they do it mostly through fear.
Right.
Because fear is a very, very powerful energy. And if they can create that fear, they can build on it.
Right. And then perpetuate the energy by creating fear in the living human and build on and compound on that.
Yes. And then they have control.
Then they have control. I've got another question. Are you the kind of intuitive, you did say earlier in our conversation that in the beginning you were given lots of information through meditation. Have you ever astral projected or received information by attending the Dream World Academies beyond in your sleep? Or?
Oh, yes. From the time Spirit first came into my life, they told me I had to, that my knowledge of this world and how to work within the world of spiritual world of healing would be given to me in a very different way. And I said, okay, well, how am I going to get it? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we will put you into a trance and you will leave body. So I do that every night, and I have every night since they came in 10 years ago. They mm-hmm. take me out of body at night, mm-hmm. Take my spirit out of body, mm-hmm. and download information. And when I come back the next morning, I just have it.
Mm.
And so, yes, sometimes we go to the dream world and I interact with other spirits out there that I know, some that have crossed over, some that are still, you know, in the physical form, but they're out there in this dream state with me, and we do interact.
On a regular basis, as if you
yes.
have a rapport.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't realize that our soul kind of has a different life, in that our spirit goes out at night. Whether you think you're perfectly normal or not, your spirit has a purpose, and it goes out at night and it interacts with other spirits from your soul group.
Mm-hmm.
And so your spirit has this, you know, sometimes don't you ever wake up in the morning and you're just exhausted?
Right.
And you went to bed early. You don't know why you're so exhausted. It's because your spirit had a very busy night.
Right.
And it probably come dashing into that body just before the alarm went off. And so you wake up feeling like you didn't get, you know, any sleep.
Here's another question. What kinds of experiences and insights have you received that helps you formulate the kind of information that when you share it with people here on Earth, they can use it to improve their health and well-being?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, when Spirit first came into my life and began working with me, I complained all the time that I didn't understand this. I didn't understand what we were supposed to be doing. Even though I came in with this information, I didn't know what to do with it. And they kept telling me that I was going to be using this knowledge to help people heal their lives. And I still didn't know how I was going to do this. And they kept saying, we're going to bring people to you. We're going to bring them to you. And I said, well, I need some classes. I need some knowledge. So they said they'd bring me a teacher. And so that's all of a sudden one night when I was in meditation, I had a voice introduce themselves to me and announce that he was Abraham, and so that he was the teacher I'd been asking for. And so I began working with the group Consciousness of Abraham about almost 10 years ago, because it was just months after Spirit first introduced themselves to me. And so I'm not sure if anybody of your listeners are familiar with the group Consciousness of Abraham. But Abraham presented their knowledge through the message of the secret, through Esther and Jerry Hicks' work of Abraham Hicks books, So he works through many different people at this time, channeling their messages. But when clients come to me, or whether we're doing workshops, Abraham is the group that talks and brings all of this wisdom for people's lives, helping them understand, you know, about the soul's journey, where they're at, you know, what issues they came in to work on, and how to overcome those issues. And so that's what we do in our workshops, because all of our workshops are about empowerment and healing.
Mm-hmm. I can literally see people sitting on the edge of their seats, some people who come together with joint issues because they're close family and friends, holding hands, looking at each other, listening to this information, nodding their heads going, this makes sense, and walking away free. I'm going to make a meaningful break here, and when we come back after this message, we're going to talk about one of the main books she's promoting now called Healing Through the Veil. And we will talk about the book's main message and how Linda, through divine guidance, uses the book's teachings to create the basis for the workshops, which are so impacting and helping people release themselves from the challenge and debilitating habits and patterns caused by experiences and loss and grieving. So join us after this message.
How beneficial it is when we use imagination and intuition to reassess our life lessons to understand how they were meant to be experienced outside of fear. Well, that is what Making It All Click and Metatelepathy is all about. Metatelepathy is perceiving all kinds of energy impressions as practical, higher purpose information for daily guidance. Making It All Click is an experiential process wherein we manifest the world we desire by using inner knowing and divine universal principles through metatelepathy. We connect with the Akashic Record, use nonverbal communication, and explore our intuitive healing and self-healing abilities by seeing the invisible through divine eyes. Here's what people are saying about Making It All Click. April in Perrysburg, Ohio says, I enjoyed the exercise and the tremendous insight drawn from the energy. Anne in Columbus, Ohio says, in fact, I was still astounded at the end of the workshop. Dr. Mahoney of Charleston, South Carolina says, this is very important no matter if you're an attorney or an artist. Facilitated by metatelepath Brian Carlton Flournoy, the two-hour teleconferences are dynamic, higher-purpose experiences in group settings through interactive energy exercises, inspirational speaking, and positive guided imagery. Also introducing Alex Moyer with a meditative narrative to begin our process in metatelepathy. Making It All Click two-hour teleconferences have already begun, and other classes are forming now. In order to register, visit makingitallclick.com or contact Brian at 419-260-2195. Making It All Click. Living, healing, growing with metatelepathy.
You're listening to Making It All Click. If you have a question or comment, call us right now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the program. Here's Brian.
Hey, thanks for returning. And let's go back into this, Linda. You have a book called Reaching Through the Veil to Heal. And first of all, I'd like to ask, what is the veil exactly?
The veil is the separation between the physical body and the spirit body, the spirit world. It is the separation that God has created for us. So that we can come in to have our human ego experiences, our human consciousness of our journey. And the journey entails going through the many lessons of our issues, so that because the ultimate place that we're trying to achieve is unconditional love for everything and everyone. Mm-hmm. That is the love that God has for us. So we have to separate ourselves from this unconditional love of God, and that is the veil. As we separate ourselves to come into the physical world and have this experience, and so when we experience the death, that is just passing through this veil back to God, back to this energy of God.
Interesting. Now, here's not too off the beaten track, but I did want to get this question in. How do past lives fit and to this paradigm? And how can you tell the difference between looking at the past and knowing that the past you are observing is the past life of your client?
Oh, I love doing past life work because I have found it to be so very powerful. I didn't believe in it at first, but Spirit had to convince me, as they did everything.
How were you convinced?
Well, first I complained about it because I said, you know, that's not part of my belief system. I don't know about this. And so they referred me to Dr. Brian Weiss's books because I'm real logical in my thinking. So you have to give me facts. You have to prove things to me beyond a doubt. Mm-hmm. And so they referred me to Dr. Brian Weiss's books. And so I read several of his books, and I said, okay, well, that's a psychiatrist doing that work. It's proven. Okay, I guess I'll look at it. And mm-hmm. I'd be talking to somebody, and they'd be flashing these pictures at me. And
you say they? Who's
Spirit
they?
Would be flashing pictures at me
mm-hmm.
of this person's past lifetime. And at first I didn't know what these images were that I was seeing. And when I asked Abraham, he said, it's their past lives. And I said, okay, well, how are those important for what's going on right now? He said, because those are the past lives that they're still connected with. They're the past lives that they have not worked through the issues with those of that lifetime, those from their soul group that they had were together with in that lifetime. They're still working on that. And so it still reflects on this lifetime. And then I found, as I began working more with it, I found that I could take my client into that past lifetime, and we could both be looking at it instead of just me. And so I do that through energy, energetically, and just take them down into a state, and they're all of a sudden they're walking through their past life. And I discovered how powerful it was, because if they could go back into that past lifetime and look at who they were with, often they recognize that person to be somebody from this lifetime. And if they could find a forgiveness for what was created in that lifetime, then it ripples down to the energy of this lifetime.
Mm.
And sometimes maybe they had an illness or an injury that occurred in that lifetime, and it caused their death or it caused a struggle for them. They may be still carrying that same weakness or the same need to experience that illness or injury in this lifetime. And so when we can look for where the weakness is in the body because of that, then we can go further down to the root of the problem and begin healing it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of our injuries or illnesses have a root cause.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes you just stub your toe, but it's because you're not paying attention. But mm-hmm. Most of our illnesses have a root cause. And if we can figure out what the root cause is, we can go in and either release the illness from us or begin the journey of healing it.
Now, how does the book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, address these issues?
Because it helps you understand the relationships that you've had. It helps you understand how grief can totally sabotage your life. Because it addresses loss of our loved ones to death. It teaches you how to interact with your loved ones after they've crossed over. It talks about the circle of love and how you can communicate and feel them. And it talks about, then it goes on to talk about loss of a relationship to divorce and how you grieve that relationship and that loss from your life. Then it talks about the loss of your pets, the loss of a career, anything that's very important to you. And when you lose that from your life, how it can begin sabotaging your life if you do not understand about the journey through grief. If you don't understand how you create pain and suffering for yourself and how to move forward through that, how to come back into life, how to take back control of your life after you have experienced such a loss. It helps you understand about the journey to death. You know, because we don't understand about death. You know, our religions do not prepare us for that type of transition. And so it talks about how to let go of the fear of death, because what it really looks like, what the journey is, and how the transition you're going to make when you go through that doorway of death. And it talks all about heaven and how or what, they don't call it heaven when they cross over. They no longer refer to it as heaven. They refer to it as home. Because they have gone home to God. or to the divine source, whichever you choose to call it. So that's what that book was all about, and how it helps people step back into life and to find the healing that they need to move forward with their life. Then my second book.
Yes, go ahead.
My second book, which will be coming out, we're looking at it at fall, to be presented in the fall, is Secret Pathway to Healing Your Issues. Because when you came into this lifetime, you chose specific issues that you wanted to experience as part of your soul's growth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you chose the people you wanted to experience all of this with from your soul groups. Mm-hmm. And so it explains all about what is your purpose. What did you come here for? What did you come to experience? How those issues have affected your life, and how you can overcome the negative patterns and belief systems that are created through this experience.
Mm. Wow, I like the way you put it, because you're actually putting, you know, everything into its perspective. It's like you're describing this is the classic Earth experience as it varies slightly from human to human, soul to soul, group soul to group soul, purpose to purpose, all leading to one universal purpose. What is the universal purpose that you've discovered?
That's what I asked was, okay, y'all have shown me all of these different past lives that I've had and all the challenges I've had and the issues I've chosen in each lifetime. What is it all about? Why do I have to keep coming back? Why can't I get it right? And how long, is there a set number of times I have to do this? And they told me that for each soul and the experience that we choose, we choose. God didn't just push us out of heaven like a mama bird does, a baby bird. He didn't just push us out and say, fly. No, God allows us to choose what we want for the advancement of our soul, for the evolution of our soul to a higher vibration. And so he allows us to choose all of the experiences we want, all of the challenges we want, but what we're ultimately searching for is, they told me that when your soul, through all of your experiences, can achieve unconditional love for all that exists, total forgiveness and unconditional love for all that exists, you no longer have to return to another lifetime.
Hmm. Now, very interesting. You do give talks and you produce group spiritual interactions that embody this philosophy and has the objective of conveying this root knowledge. Can you tell us about these workshops and how they're formatted, and when people attend them, what they can come to expect?
Yes. Last year I was focused on traveling all around the country and the world, focusing on, you know, messages of empowerment, the journey of empowerment, the journey of healing. And so we traveled around teaching workshops at different expos and conferences to teach people about their lives, to give them a better understanding of what their purpose is. Everybody wants to know, what is my purpose? How can I achieve my purpose? Well, your primary purpose, human purpose, is to overcome the challenges of these issues. And so that's what we teach in the class, giving you an understanding of what these issues are, how they're controlling your life, and how you can overcome the negativity of them. And these classes and workshops are so, so very important, because I do see people walk away from them just having all of this knowledge and awareness of why they're here.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was able to, you know, being an intuitive, I use it to connect, and I wasn't trying to confirm to see if you were the real thing or anything, but but I was actually able to see the freedom that was going on and was quite touching. I'm going to take a step back and go back to one of your books. We were having a conversation before pressing record, and one of my questions to you was, how do you know the impact your book is making?
Because I see the changes in people's lives. I really do.
And you said you get feedback, too.
Yes, I get all this. You know, I see the changes when they walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they still connect with me. They're giving me constant feedback of, Linda, you know, this is the tools you gave us, and this is how I've used it. This is the change in my life. And that's the beautiful part of my book. You know, not only in my second, well, in all of my books, and there will be 8 of them total, but this is just my first book that's out now, my second one coming out in the fall. But it gives you all of these tools to change your life, to empower your life, to understand your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've been giving people for the 10 years of my work with Spirit, is all of these tools that they've taken out to their lives. And so I have clients that have shared their testimonials of about their healing process and the changes in their lives. I share those in my books.
Mm-hmm.
And to give people hope that this is where they were, this is what they were experiencing, now this is the tools that they've used, and this is where they've gone with it. This is how their lives have changed. And I just get, every day I get the most beautiful, and I know Spirit brings these in because I get tired from all the work that I do, but I know this is, the Spirit is still giving me hope of the work that I'm doing.
Right.
But they give me, I get emails every day talking with people sharing with me how this method of understanding the journey has helped their life and changed
their life. And
you were
telling me from people from different countries and...
Oh, yes. You know, even, you know, I even, you know, as far away as Australia and Japan, you know, I went to Japan and did, worked in Japan for a couple of weeks, and just, you know, seeing how people all over the world are the same.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what country you're in, you know, you have the same issues. You play them out in so much the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can give, you know, these are universal tools.
Mm-hmm.
That can be used by anyone to change their lives. And so that's what I share with people through this book. And, you know, I've been doing it in workshops for quite some time, and the workshops are growing and growing. And people can contact me and, you know, have me come to your city to do a large workshop. And, you know, when I see what they've done for people,
how many people do you allow in a workshop at a time?
Oh, it varies. You know, sometimes I do very personal workshops where there's like 30 in it, and sometimes there's 500 in it.
Okay.
Because everybody is receiving the same message and applying it to their lives. I like to have the interaction with people talking, you know, because what one person is sharing is pretty much that other person's life, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
so,
but there's nothing lacking for interaction when the groups are as large as 500.
No, I really don't see that because there is, you know, I've often, you know, split them off into groups or, you know, we can do that where there's a sharing in that individual group. But I like just everybody feeling like they're all one big group
mm-hmm.
because they all become one, all with the same issues, just playing them out in different ways.
All right. And then during these workshops, you oftentimes channel this higher knowledge from the energy of Abraham as well?
Yes, Abraham's pretty much the one that teaches this workshop because I just go in and I'm the mouth. I'm just kind of the presenter. But Abraham does all of the teaching of the workshop. I never know. My workshops are never scripted because he conforms that workshop to the people that are there and what they need. And Abraham is a group consciousness. But I always hear it as one voice, so I call him he. But each workshop is different. Mm-hmm. I never know what they're going to present. So we never script it. I just let them talk.
I was going to pull your leg and say, well, what does Abraham call the workshop?
he calls the workshop pretty much whatever it needs to be for that group.
Right. But the common objective, you and I were talking before pressing record, is the journey.
Yes, the journey. Yes, that is. Because we're all on this soul's journey. And so, yes, the workshops are. They're always about whether it's the journey of empowerment or the journey of healing or the journey of awareness. You know, it depends on, you know, what focus we need to have for that specific group, what they're wanting and needing. But it's always, with Abraham, it's always the journey.
Right. I really appreciate you being on the show. And this being a visionary series is about people like you who've had a personal experience and that experience was definitely shared here during this conversation, and we took it to where you are now, making an excellent contribution, you know, to global consciousness. And a question I would like to ask in context to the objective of this series is, what do you tell someone? I know you know that there are people out there with abilities similar to yours, but may not necessarily know how to express it or be afraid of it. What would you say to the general audience out there, to someone who's in this situation that needs to get to understand their gift, not be afraid of it, and be ready to use it and share it?
The first thing you have to do is learn to love yourself, because the world that you're going to begin functioning in is full of judgment. And if you love yourself, other people's judgment won't bother you. It won't create a fear for you. And that's what you have to overcome first, is your fear of judgment. So love yourself so much and understand how beautiful this gift is, or God would not have awakened you to your gift. We all have gifts, but we have to awaken them for us to see that they are truly a gift.
Well, Linda, may I ask this? What about people who are experiencing their paranormal abilities as very negative events, dark, frightening, focusing on the part of the spiritual world that we don't want to know or understand?
As you begin awakening to the awareness of your gifts, the darkness will try to take over. Be aware of the darkness. A lot of people don't want to acknowledge the darkness, and I understand this, because you don't want to focus on it. But you better be aware that the darkness is there and will try to create a fear for you and will try to sabotage you working with the light, because if it's a gift, you're working with the light. So constantly learning to protect yourself and focus totally on the light with your gift, giving it to God and say, God, show me how to use this gift. Empower me with your love and your support so that I can use this gift for the highest good of all.
Right, and you're saying make a conscious choice to connect that experience with the spiritual, with God.
Yes, yes. And back to God.
Right, and you also provide these tools in your books, is that correct?
Yes, yes. My books are very spiritually focused, because God, the divine source, is within all of us, and we're just trying to reconnect with that.
How do people get to your site or get to your books and get to your workshops?
Okay, go to my website. It's www.lindadrakebooks.com.
Okay. And I'm going to have a link on my site as well.
Thank you.
So it makes it very easy for people to get. I'm very happy to have you on the show. Thank you so much. It was quite lovely.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Would you come on the show if I were to ask you again to give us an update on the progress you're making?
I would love to. I would love to.
Thank you very much. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Until next week, when we have another great visionary. And we will. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.